Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. A somber funeral was held today in East Boston for Rishel Nova, a 58-year-old pizza delivery man and father of three. He was murdered last week after being lured to a vacant house during a routine pizza delivery. Nova worked two jobs to try to put his son and twin daughters through college. Three young Boston residents are accused of stabbing Nova to death and then stealing his car and his money. The three pleaded not guilty yesterday in West Roxbury Municipal Court. WBUR's Bianca Vasquez-Tonez spoke with a young woman who says she saw the suspects on the evening Nova was killed.
The friend is Aileen Valerie. She's 19 years old and a junior at Hyde Park High School. She's best friends with Yamile Matarin, one of the three people accused of Rishel Nova's murder.
We were just talking about how we were going to go school shopping and do our hair the same way. We was going to do dreads.
Valerie was such good friends with Matarin that Valerie convinced her own mom to take in the boy her friend liked. That boy is Alexander Gallet, another suspect in the murder.
He had really nowhere to stay, and he wanted places to leave his clothes, you know, somewhere he could have a stable mailing address.
Last Wednesday night, Valerie was at home with her mom watching television. It was 2 a.m., and someone set off the motion-sensored lights outside their house. So Valerie went downstairs to see who it was. She found Gallet, Matarin, and another man she recognized as Michel St. Jean.
And one of the guys, Michel, his hands was bleeding, and all I seen was like they was panicking, and Alex had blood all over his shirt and his pants. And I asked him what happened, and I guess they told me a lie. They told me that they three was walking, and somebody was drunk, and somebody was trying to touch Yamile's butt, and they got into a fight.
Valerie says they put a Domino's pizza box into her refrigerator, and she went to sleep. Valerie had no idea what her friends would be accused of.
The video shows that the three defendants arrived at that particular location a little after 8 p.m. that evening. We know at that point they were armed with knives.
Attorney Jennifer Hickman laid out the prosecution's case yesterday.
A little before 11 p.m., a call was made by the defendant, Yamile Matarin, to Domino's and placed an order.
Hickman said Nova arrived with the pizza 10 minutes before midnight on Wednesday, and Matarin asked him to follow her to the back of the house where she kept her wallet.
While Mr. Nova was brought into that particular house in a little room off the back steps, he was set upon. There were multiple stab wounds, as stated, to the neck, to the back, as well as to the chest.
Hickman said the three left in Nova's car, and police later tracked down St. Jean by his cell phone number, which Matarin allegedly gave to Domino's in case they needed to call back. When police interviewed St. Jean, he gave up his friends, according to prosecutors. All three pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder charges yesterday. They're being held without bail. Police say none of them had prior interactions with law enforcement. And that's consistent with what Aileen Valerie knew of her friends. She says Matarin went to church every Sunday and wanted to go into the medical field. And Gallet was a nice, quiet boy. All of them, including Valerie, shared a bond as the children of Haitian immigrants. But now she says she doesn't know what to think.
What they did was wrong. It was wrong. It was selfish. They could have robbed the guy and just left them. I mean, you killed them. Like, what was y'all thinking? That's cruel. That's cruel and sinful. And for them to just come to my house and just act like everything was okay, that's not even being a real friend. That's not. It really sickens me. And you actually brought the box of pizza home and you're offering me a slice of pizza and I'm eating the pizza and God knows, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on and you're really letting me eat this pizza and you know you just robbed somebody and killed them.
Valerie says she hasn't told this story to police. However, a detective did interview her mother and removed evidence from the house. What Valerie's most apprehensive about is returning to school today, where everyone knows her as Yamilee's best friend. For WBUR, I'm Bianca Vasquez-Tonas.
Bianca is here now to tell us more about the story. Welcome to Radio Boston, Bianca.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for having me.
This case is truly sad, obviously, but it gets even sadder because, as I understand it, you were in this Hyde Park neighborhood yesterday talking to residents, and you learned that the man who was killed, Richelle Nova, was really a face in the neighborhood, not just a random pizza delivery guy who was a stranger in the community.
Yeah, that's true. I talked to dozens of people who said that he was their pizza delivery guy. They'd seen him for years, and they all recognized him, and they knew him, you know, as the guy who brought the pizza every, you know, whenever they ordered.
But despite Richelle Nova having apparently been familiar to many folks in this neighborhood, the young woman you interviewed, Aileen Valerie, doesn't think the suspects knew Nova?
I asked Aileen this directly, and she said that she knew Nova. She had seen him deliver pizzas to her house, but she doubted that these kids knew him. She thought this was random.
You found Aileen Valerie at the address listed on a police report for one of the suspects in the killing, Alexander Gillette. Aileen mentioned that Gillette kept clothes at her house but didn't stay there much. Any idea why he wasn't living at home?
She isn't sure exactly. She describes him as having sort of a broken family life. Here she is describing his relationship with his parents.
He said that he had problems at home with his mom because, you know, he had the braids. You know how Haitian parents is. They don't want guys to have the braids, and I don't really know the relationship with his father, though.
So was she suggesting some kind of generational conflict?
Yeah, she was. And, you know, this is something I've heard from other, I don't want to generalize here or stereotype Haitian parents. I've heard this from other Haitian families, that there's this problem where Haitian parents come here and they want their kids to dress every day like they're going to church in their Sunday best, and they want their kids to be really clean cut. And there is this real conflict that happens when kids here want to dress like American kids.
Did you visit any of the other suspects' homes and learn anything else about them?
I did go to their homes. I didn't learn a whole lot. I tried to telegraph as much compassion as I could for these families who've obviously, you know, their kids have been accused of really horrible things, and there are surveillance tapes showing them leaving, you know, the house and arriving at the house. So there's, you know, the prosecution has laid out a pretty tough case against them. But, you know, the families, in one case, I actually got to see them face to face, and they looked really distraught. This was the family of Michelle St. Jean, told me to go away. But according to Aileen Valerie, the young woman I did speak to, who was best friends with Yamilee Mathurin, the suspect, and was housing Yamilee's sort of boyfriend, yes, Alexander Gillette, you know, she said that Yamilee was from a really stable home. She went to church every Sunday. She was a really good kid. And as far as Michelle St. Jean, she didn't really know him, but she did know Alexander Gillette pretty well because he was living at her house from time to time. And she said that he was a quiet, good kid who had never displayed any sort of signs of violence or aggression.
So a crime that still seems to make no sense and that maybe we'll never understand.
Certainly seems that way.
Bianca Vasquez-Tonas, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me, Sasha.